buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet. I climbed down up inside.
So good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and for the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking about cars, and we can talk about your car as well as anybody else's car. And all you have to do is give us a call, 602-508-0960. And this first hour, we're going to be talking about paint and body repairs. We've got Greg May, who's the owner of Phoenix Body Works. They're located up at 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road, I-17 and Deer Valley, just half block north. They've been in the Valley since 1972. I'm pretty sure that Greg knew the very first guy here in Phoenix. But they're open Monday through Friday and Saturday from 9 to 12. Do you work, Greg, Saturday 9 to 12?
I used to, but not anymore. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Greg. Folks, when it comes to paint and body, I kind of want to start off and talk about, I just wrecked my car. Now, let's pretend it's you just wrecked your car. You know what you know, so what's the first thing you're going to do?
Well, I'm going to assess the damage as far as if I need to turn it into insurance or not. I'm going to kind of look it over, and I guess in layman's terms, depending on your deductible, you call your insurance company, or okay, you call the other guy's insurance company. If it was his fault, that's the best thing to do is first call his.
Okay. Now, how many times do people bring their car in and they've got a $500 deductible? What's the most common deductible? $250, $500,000?
$500.
Okay. So how many times do they come in at $500 and they say, I'm going to cover this, but then you call them and say, this is $2,700 worth of damage, or this is significantly higher than $500? Does that happen a lot?
Well, yeah, it's probably more than half the time.
Okay.
People don't realize how expensive it is to repair the car.
Exactly. Isn't my rule of thumb, and you correct me if I'm right, is like one panel, a dent and paint on a fender, on a door. Isn't that $500?
Easily. If it's in the center of the panel and it's a metallic color and it's a small dent, and you might be able to blend it both ways to make it match, and if it's a straight color, you'll be all right.
What does blend mean?
Well, blending is where you prepare the panel for complete paint, and it's usually a base coat, clear coat panel, and you just put enough color both directions to cover the repair area, and then you clear the whole panel, and then you can't tell it's ever been done.
Okay, now, clear is paint with no color, right?
Correct. Yes.
So you're going to put down color, and then you're going to put clear over the top of it.
Yes.
Now, how thick is the paint?
It's probably, when you get all done, maybe 2 mils.
Two thousandths? Or two?
2 millimeters.
Millimeters. Millimeters.
Yes.
I had the same problem with that. Yes. I used MM. Now, in comparison to thousandths of an inch, or in comparison to a human hair, where is it? Is it as thick as a human hair, which is 2 or 3 thousandths?
No, it's probably, like four.
Four. Okay. Yeah. So a little, just slightly thicker than a human hair.
Correct.
Now, is the clear coat going to be pretty much the same thickness over the top?
The clear coat is usually thicker.
Okay.
And it's usually two coats. Used to be you put three on, but with today's paints, you only need two, and that's plenty of clear coat.
Okay.
And plenty of UV protection to last a long time.
Okay. So now, you've assessed it, and you think you want to cover your deductible, and let's just pretend it's someone else's, they caused your damage. Let you pretend it's me. So you're going to call my insurance company, and they're going to say to you, Mark hasn't filed a claim yet.
Yeah, usually I'm not the guy calling them. The owner of the car will call the insurance company, whether it be the company that's responsible, another person driving, or their company, and then that insurance company will, if I'm on their direct repair program, they'll send me an assignment, and that's usually an indication that we can go ahead and repair the car.
Okay.
If it's their insurance company and we're not on their program, then their insurance company has to write it. and then the customer brings me the estimate or has the insurance company email or fax it over to me, and that's when I can get things going.
Okay, but remember, you've been involved in the accident. You're not Greg May, who owns a paint and body shop. You're Mark Salem, who okay. was hit by Mark Salem. And so it's my fault, but when you call my insurance company because it's my fault,
right.
they tell you I haven't called them and told them I hit you. What do you do then?
Well, you ask them to get a hold of their insured and verify that he has hit them.
Okay.
And then sometimes that person won't want to answer the phone
mm-hmm.
Because he knows it's them and he thinks if he just plays coy he can get out of it.
It'll all go away.
Yeah, but it doesn't. You know, the end result is whoever's responsible will have to step up to the bat and pay for it.
So, but the default is, you've been hit by my car. Your default is to call your insurance company and say, look, I'm not going to play this game with Mark Salem.
Yeah, that's what you'll have to do, and then they'll have to go after the other insurance company. And if you're in the right, they'll end up collecting it for you.
Right.
You may have to put the deductible out. Then again, while the claim's under process and we're doing the repairs, they may step forward and say, okay, now we're going to handle it. We'll just send you the deductible check to the shop, so that's paid, and then your insurance company will pay the bill on it, and then they'll get paid back
right.
so that you don't have to put any money out. And that happens a lot of times.
Okay. All right. Now, so you have turned it into your own insurance company, but it's really not going to count against you as long as the other insurance company ends up paying.
Yeah, it never counts against you.
Okay.
And the other thing to think about, too, is if something happened, like something fell off a trailer in front of you on the freeway or whatever, and you couldn't avoid hitting it, it's usually a comprehensive claim where it doesn't go against you either.
Okay, now let me clarify. The comprehensive claim is Greg's driving down the street, and a landscape truck in front of him loses a Craftsman lawnmower.
Yeah.
And it goes underneath your car and blows your oil pan up. Even though you can't catch him, that's a comprehensive claim for your insurance company, which is the same as you waking up in the morning and finding out somebody spray-painted your car.
Yeah, or there was a hailstorm.
Right. So somebody damaged your car, and it's not your fault.
Yes. But keep in mind, too, that it's you put in a number of those claims, and it actually eventually does catch up to you a little bit.
Do you know how much of my consulting for insurance companies has to do with comprehensive claims?
Probably quite a few.
Now, I had one just the other day. The guy has a Dodge truck, raised up, got the every trick hot rod thing you could ever see on the truck. His story is, I'm driving down the road, and something comes up underneath my truck and shatters my transfer case. So we go out and look at it, and the transfer case is blown up. Now, the transfer case sits high. 8 inches high from the bottom of the crossmember, from the oil pan of the transmission, from the oil pan of the engine. There is no damage in front of the transfer case and behind the transfer case underneath the car. So at 65 miles an hour, something went up, hit the transfer case, blew it up, and fell down before hitting any other part of the car.
Yeah, it's a hard story to believe. It sounds like an internal problem, obviously.
And there's no question it blew up from inside. Then the front drive shaft came apart and spun around a couple of million times and cut and beat the floor up. So the question to me is did this transfer case get hit on the outside? And the answer is no. Unequivocally no. But tell me, what else did they cover?
Well, I'm not understanding. What do you mean?
Okay, the insurance company says, I'm not covering the transfer case. But
correct.
They covered the drive shaft.
Really?
The failure of a mechanical issue caused damage somewhere else. So it's still damage to your car. So under the customer's comprehensive policy, they fixed the floor, but they said that transfer case, that $1,000 transfer case, is not ours. We're not paying for it.
You know, that's an adjuster that knows his job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and obviously you deal with this type of stuff all the time in the mechanical business.
Yep.
They stepped up to the bat and did the right thing. They took care. But most of the time, when you're trying to put a claim in like that, they're not going to do anything for you.
Yep. No, you're. And you know what else? This is a true story. I get dispatched to Wickenburg to look at a boat. The boat came out of Lake Powell. It's in the middle of the wintertime. They want a brand new LS6 big block put in this because of damage to the boat. So we get there, and the intake's off. And in the valley where the push rods and rockers are on the big block Chevys, or on all Chevys, the whole inside of the block has been heaved outward. This thing's been iced. So they didn't drain the water out of the motor. They let it go. I get back, and I go, this is a winterized issue. This is just a winterized issue. It's not damaged by anybody but the Lord. But it's a winterized issue. And, oh, man, did those people put up a fight. But at the end of the day, the insurance company said no. This is damage of frost. This is like you leaving no coolant in your car and you're going through a severe winter and we pop the radiator because it freezes because you don't have any coolant in it. We're not going to take care of that. Yeah. It has to be damaged by others, so to speak.
2 minutes.
But I'm going to tell you, Greg, I bet 80% of the work I do has to do with a guy from Tucson driving a Mercedes, about a $93,000 Mercedes with a $26,000 engine. And he runs over a tire, and he just keeps driving. He just keeps driving, and he keeps driving, and he keeps driving, and smokes the motor. They have a term for that in the industry. It's called mitigating damages. Otherwise, your job is not, after you're damaged, don't make it worse.
Correct.
And they
well, that's like having an accident and you end up getting back in your car after you rear-ended somebody and driving off, and then your hood flies up and breaks your windshield and hits the roof. Well, and then when you go to, you have your car towed in and your insurance company comes out, they actually put it as two claims. And so, you know, that's something to be very careful of.
1 minute.
Try not to do that. The bottom line is to be fair, try not to cause more damage. Or get in your car because the radiator's been whacked hard and drive it 5 miles home and overheat the motor. That's what we see a lot. All righty, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Greg May, who's the owner of Phoenix Body Works. My name's Mark Salem. Greg is located up at 19th Avenue and Deer Valley Road, a half block north of Deer Valley. 19th and the I-17. That's good enough. And that's on the east side of the street, right? Or west side?
It's on the west side. It's right across from Deer Valley Airport.
Okay. You get a lot of airport.
Just a half a block north of Deer Valley there.
All righty. So that's Greg May, Mark Salem. We're here to answer your questions. And when we come back, I want to ask you now that you've picked a place to go to your car, then what else does Greg May need to know to get his car fixed appropriately? And who's going to be paying that bill? And who's going to be dancing to whose music? So that's what we'll talk about when we get back. I'm Mark Salem. We'll be back right after this.
He raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, this ain't good. The timing belt's done shrunk, one size too small.
Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and with me is Greg May from Phoenix Body Works up on the I-17 and 19th Avenue, just a half a block north of Deer Valley Road. And this portion is brought to you by Action Auto, which is right up there around the corner from you, as a matter of fact.
He's a couple blocks away.
He's family-owned and operated, and he's a mechanical shop where Greg does paint and body and restoration. But Action Auto's been in business since 1983, and they can fix all kinds of makes and models, diesels. Their ASE-certified technicians are really the best our industry has to offer. He's a tech-neck shop, which means that he helps create some of the rules and regulations for our industry. He has free roadside service, towing, coast-to-coast, 12-month, 12,000-mile warranty. They have a rewards program where you can accumulate points to receive discounts. And Tom is the world-class fisherman. So if you want to sit and talk to somebody about fishing while your car's having an oil change, then Tom would be the guy. All you have to do is walk into his lobby and you'll know for sure. So if you're looking for a shop in the north side of town, Action Auto is located on I-17 and Deer Valley Road. Give him a try. I know you'll be satisfied. Let's go to Darwin, Greg, real quick, and we're going to grab Darwin's questions, and then we'll continue on with after you've wrecked your car. Darwin, good morning.
Morning, Mark. This is a comeback from last week. You sent me to Jerry's Auto on East Mesa on East Main and Mesa with my Dodge van oil consumption problem.
Okay.
And first off, I'm a man who gives credit where credit is due. This Gabe is the one I touched base with, and he was very polite, very professional, and he made it easy to understand what my problem was, and then I told him, Mark now said the last thing I ask before I leave, is this a fix or is this a guess? And he shook my hand and he said, it is a fix and I guarantee it. And I said, Gabe, you are my man, and I will promote you from here on out. I just love it. So I just wanted to say thank you again for helping me out.
All righty. And what was the ultimate oil consumption issue? What did Gabe find?
If the ultimate finally was there's a pan between the intake manifold and the heads, and this gasket was just, he took pictures of it and showed it to me. The gaskets were blown completely out all the way around. So
yep.
They just happened to have a Dodge repair kit because Todd recognized this problem years ago. And he happened to have one on hand, and he took care of that and a bunch of other little things. And I'm just very, very happy. So that's why I want to thank you and promote his business.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's Jerry Auto, Jerry's Auto in Mesa. They're just east of, is it Power?
Sossaman.
They're just east of Sossaman on the Main Street, on Apache Boulevard, on the north side of the road. They've been around a long time, and you can pretty much bet that Gabe's got a few gray hairs, because for him to know that intake valley pan is leaking a gasket, there's very few of the young bucks that would ever even know about that. So you hit the jackpot. Thank you, Darwin.
When I told him the problem, he went on the internet and brought up all that year's van's problem with oil consumption, and there it was right in front of him. He knew kind of had a good idea before they even tested it out. So
and that's a matter. It's a matter of matching what you know to the symptoms and know they match. It's not a good idea to fix your car based on the vote on the internet, because the question is are they voting based on their experience or are they voting based on the symptoms? But Good job for Gabe, and I'll pull this off on tape and send it to him. Thank you very much, Darwin. 602-508-0960. Greg, now you got your home. Your car's damaged. You're going to report it to your insurance company and that. So what happens then? How do you get your car fixed?
We call your agent.
Okay.
He'll then in turn call the insurance company for you, and a claims adjuster will call you back, and they'll ask you if you would like to go to one of their shops. Most all insurance companies have a direct repair program.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll ask you if you know the shop you want it fixed at.
Or they could ask you to go through their drive-thru?
Yes, certainly. Most of the time they'll come to your work or your home if you can't go to the drive-thru. So
okay.
Keep that in mind. They should offer that to you.
Okay.
And then if you know of a shop, it's always good to pick the shop yourself. Because,
why?
Well, because then the shop is looking out for your best interest. They have no beholdings to the insurance company if the insurance company sent you to that shop. And keep in mind, state law says you get your repair done at the shop of your choice. And you really only need one estimate, and that's by the shop you want it fixed at. The insurance company then usually comes in and assesses the damage. That shop works off of their estimate, and then the shop supplements them for anything that they may find that they missed or misjudged.
Above and beyond. So the shop writes an estimate of $3,000. The insurance company comes in at $2,500. There's going to be a meeting at that point, and they're going to say, what have you got that I don't have, or why are we $500 apart? Can the repair continue in spite of the fact they're $500 apart, or are they going to have to settle on a number before we start fixing your car?
Well, we have to look at we'll look at their estimate then.
Mm-hmm.
If they're paying the bill, then we work off of their estimate.
Okay.
And then if they have everything on there, and let's say the differences were that they found some aftermarket parts,
mm-hmm.
and your insurance policy says they're allowed to use them, and it saves money, then that's where the estimate price difference might be. It could be that they found some used parts. And used parts are just like the parts that are on your car, as long as they have the factory finish on them, that they haven't been repainted. Because we won't use used parts if an insurance company requests it, or even if I request it. If I'm shopping mm-hmm. for you and find you a part, we just want to make sure it's got the OEM finish on it so that we can warranty it for the life of the vehicle.
Okay. And the supplement part, what that means is you take their estimate at $2,500, but after you take some parts off, you find, here's an inner fender liner that's damaged that I didn't know. So you call the insurance company, who's going to be paying you, and they'll either over the phone, you'll send them a picture or whatever, they'll agree to give you a supplement which adds that much money onto the original estimate.
Yes.
How many SUPs do you write on a typical car that's been hit pretty hard?
If it's been hit pretty hard, there's usually two, sometimes three.
I worked a case the other day that had 9, and they took it from $8,000 to $28,000, and it was too late to total the car. Somebody's panties were wadded up pretty tight over that.
Yeah,
have you ever done 9 SUPs?
You know, probably.
Okay. Okay, fair enough.
You know, many things can happen in the repair process. You know, there could be something like as simple as it was in a front-end collision, the airbags went off, and the seat belt went off. And everything you think was found, everything was taken apart, but you're getting down to putting the car back together after all the repairs are done, and you're installing the new seat belt. And the plug coming out of the harness, the main harness of the vehicle, mm-hmm. Is melted that went to the seatbelt. Well, you have to then, because you're not allowed to on airbag systems, splice plugs in.
Right.
It's not one the right thing to do. It could cost another $4,000, $5,000, $7,000, $8,000 to put that harness because it's the main harness of the vehicle.
Right. Right, and I understand that. It's just, I think the perception on this particular case I worked was the body shop kept going little pieces, and I got to the point where the car had to be fixed, and we went from 9 or from 8 to 28. We added $20,000 to the bill. By that time, it's too late, and the customer was a little upset because the car really should have been totaled if all of that was bona fide stuff, and that was part of the answer.
And you can't. You know, see through steel. You know,
You're right. I agree with you. I agree. That's why that we have supplements.
Correct.
But sometimes we'll talk about this on the back side of this. But sometimes they're abused, and it's in a very short period of time, and there are very few shops. We'll be back right after this.
I am not an American, Sam Clements once quipped. I am the American. Humorous, satirist, and scathing social commentator Mark Twain occupies a special place in the pantheon of American and world writers. 960 The Patriot is excited to present Mark Twain at Large, one night only in Scottsdale. Tickets are $20 online and only available through 960 The Patriot.
No problem, he's still on the line, but we're done with him, right?
960thepatriot.com.
You got it.
Click on Mark Twain at Large icon.
Tickets sponsored by People's Mortgage. Mark Salem has a friend at Thunderbird Automotive, and so do you. His name is Tom Fletcher. If you live in the Northwest area, you have 2 Thunderbird autos to choose from. One at 88th Avenue and Thunderbird in Peoria, just west of 101, and the other one is at Mountain View and Reams Road in Surprise, just south of Grand. In 2003, Thunderbird Auto was the finalist in the Better Business Bureau Ethics Award, and in 2004, they won that BBB Ethics Award. Thunderbird Auto has an A-plus rating. They have ASC-certified technicians, they can fix anything with a steering wheel, and they offer a free cursory ring inspection that some others charge $49 for, and they're the only shop you know that offers 2-year, 24,000-mile warranty on parts and labor anywhere in the country. And if you have a problem with them and you go through Mark Salem's BBB process, he'll put $5,000 of his money up to guarantee you'll be treated fairly. For more information, see ThunderbirdAutomotive.com.
The following is a paid political announcement.
This time of year, you hear a lot of politicians talking about themselves and mindlessly attacking each other. But you don't hear that from Congressman Trent Franks. Without all the talk and media hype, small business owner Trent Franks has quietly but tirelessly gone about the business of protecting America, her children, and her Constitution. He's fought to reduce our dangerous dependence on foreign oil, and to help create jobs by reducing the crushing regulation and tax burden on small business. He's also fought to reduce the mindless deficit spending that's bankrupting America. And Trent Franks has relentlessly opposed Obama's left-wing policies to abrogate our Constitution, turn our economy into a European socialist model, and weaken our military. Congressman Trent Franks, a principled Reagan conservative who loves and fights for America.
I'm Trent Franks, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the Committee to Re-elect Trent Franks to Congress.
Many calls. Many clicks. And yet, just one call to 1-888-693-NDEP or one click to www.yourdiabetesinfo.org gets you the free diabetes information you need.
The National Diabetes Education Program makes it easier than ever. Get free information on living with diabetes, tips to prevent or delay type 2 diabetes, and how to help loved ones manage the disease. Just one call to 1-888-693-NDEP. Just one click to www.yourdiabetesinfo.org. One call, one click. The National Diabetes Education Program, your source for free diabetes information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Election Day 2012 is now on us. Our country is faced with the starkest of choices. You know the candidates. I trust you know the issues. The economy, marriage, life, religious liberty, all these will be impacted by our nation's decision on Election Day. And you are a part of this. God has given you a hard-earned right to vote. Please, be faithful with it. Make your plans, clear your schedule, and get out there and vote.
Most Friday nights, I can be found in the building. Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and Greg May from Phoenix Body Works is here with me. He's up on 19th Avenue and the I-17, a half block north of Deer Valley Road. We were talking about the guy with the car. Now, he's got his insurance company situated. He has three choices. He can either take it to the body shop of his choice. He can have the adjuster from the insurance company, whoever's handling it, whether it's his or somebody else, he can have them go to the body shop and look at it, or he can go through one of their drive-through lanes. I want you to comment on this. If you don't want to, you don't have to. There was a study the other day that said that they did a study on the checks that were given at the drive-through lanes. Otherwise, you go to ABC Insurance, and they have a drive there, and they got guys out there with pencils and paper. You pull in, and they write you an estimate, and they give you a check right then, right there. This is what the study said. The study said that the check was less than half of the damage. The study said that most people just care about pocketing the money and not fixing the dent. So if the dent was $500, they wrote it for $275. Now, they know that if he takes it to a shop, then the shop's going to call back and say, no, this is $500, and they'll have to pay the difference. But if he doesn't take it to a shop and he just cashes the check,
he's out all that money. Yeah.
He doesn't know it, though. He doesn't know it.
Correct.
Now, this is kind of slippery, because the drive-through lanes means you're not going to take your total through a drive-through lane. The car has to run. The car has to go down the road. So if I was an insurance company and I only had to pay half of those claims, and if I gave them a check right then and there in this day's economy, why wouldn't they just cash it and say forget it?
Well, and a lot of people do that. But, you know, and there's a lot of insurance companies that do just what you said. They aren't being fair, and they're underwriting the repair, because there's a pretty good chance, especially in today's economy, that yep. they're going to just cash the check and put it in their
Caller pocket. David.
Yep, you're right. You're exactly right.
But not all insurance companies do that.
I understand.
I'm going to tell you that it's probably a third.
Okay, a third. Now, and let me ask you this.
Maybe half.
Okay. The big guys. We're not going to name names. Everybody know who the big guys are. Okay, those are the guys that are on TV. That's the little geeko guy and Progressive. I'm going to name them. I don't care. Allstate, Farmers. Typically, it's not the big guys, although that isn't 100% true. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
It's oftentimes, it's the really small insurance companies that you don't hear about that you buy from the general on the internet.
Well, definitely those are the guys to watch out for.
Those are the ones. All righty. Dave, hold on just one second, because I've got to do some work here real quick, and then I'm going to take you. This portion of On the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Brian and Thelma own Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing, a married couple. And if you get to meet them, you'll understand why they're on my list of best car repair shops in Phoenix. They can handle anything you want, and if they can't, they'll refer you to someone who can, which is the mark of a true professional. Brian and Thelma run a AAA-approved shop. They're an ASE-certified Blue Seal shop. Thompson's Auto Repair was named Business of the Year by the Mesa Chamber of Commerce in 2009. And another shop that I don't remember the last time I had anybody call me with the exception of a call that said, thank you for referring me there. Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They're just east of Stapley on Main Street on the south side of the road. So Stapley and Main, just east on the south side of the road. Okay, is it Dave that were that rang the doorbell? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, it's go Dave. Right ahead. Go right ahead, Dave.
Okay, quick question. I bought an 89 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Okay.
And it's missing there's a broken wire on the condenser. It's on the coil. It's not on the exterior of the coil.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering how important is that to replace this?
Okay, so there's an electrical connection at the coil in front of the radio?
Yeah, it's the ignition coil has the...
Okay, we're kind of losing you, so try that one more time for me.
Okay, hang on.
Are you there?
He's gone. He's got a bad phone connection.
Okay, did you hear what he said?
No, not
was
in
it the I didn't get it either.
Yeah, it was... I thought he was talking about the condenser and there was an electrical connection to it. But
yeah.
Let me just tell you this. It's. I'm going to guess, but if there is an electrical connection on the condenser, the air-conditioned condenser, it's going to be a switch that tells the computer whether the condenser has too much pressure or not. It's a safety device. Anything electrical that goes to any air-conditioning lines is a safety device. It shuts the system down if the pressure gets too high or too low. It shuts the system down if there's all of a sudden a restriction in the system. So to answer your question is, until you know exactly what it is, you don't know if it really needs to be there.
David's back.
Okay, bring him on. Bring him on. Dave?
Yeah, I'm here. What I'm talking about is the ignition coil going to the distributor. On the outside of the ignition coil, it has a condenser
right
mounted to the outside. The wire is broken off of that condenser.
Oh.
How important is that to replace that condenser for that coil?
How does your radio work?
I don't know. It doesn't work.
Okay, then forget the condenser. Because the condenser is supposed to take some of the ignition noise out of your radio.
A noise suppressor then.
Yeah, it's a noise suppressor. Yeah. And that question gets asked a lot. Typically, if we look at the radio and we turn it on to an AM station and we go the gamut all the way from the 600s upwards to the 1400s and we can get a good clear station with the motor running, maybe the idle at 2000 RPM, then a lot of times we're not going to go try to find that. So, all right, good luck. Thank you very much for calling back. I really appreciate that. Okay, so now your car's in the shop. You said something that I think is so important. You said you want to hire a shop that has your interests in front of their own and everybody else's. The shop wants to dance to your music, not the insurance company music. So there's probably one out of 100 insurance companies out there that tells you to cut corners?
No.
Two out of 100?
Yeah, at least.
10 out of 100?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
10% of them ask you to do something that doesn't put the customer back in the right way.
Well, you know, it's the appraiser that's out. Most all the appraisers today are wanting to do the right thing and get the car back on the road.
I agree.
But sometimes their source of what they are going to use that their company's requiring them to fix your car isn't always accurate. And that's where you want to have a shop that is looking out for your best interest to repair the car for you, because then... let's say they wrote it for some aftermarket parts, and they may fit fine and look the same, and you're good. But if they don't, and you're on their direct repair program, and they sent you to them, if it's not a shop that's looking out for your best interests always,
mm-hmm.
Hiring the shop yourself is going to be that. And
right.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't go with a direct repair shop, because a lot of times you don't know where to go. And that might be the best place to start, because, you know, most insurance companies are trying to do the right thing in fixing your car properly.
All right. Well, let me offer you this. The best place to start is go to a mechanical shop that you deal with and ask him who the straight guys are in the neighborhood.
We do get a lot of referrals from
Absolutely.
The mechanical shops.
And I'll say it because I don't want you to say it, but there's a difference in aftermarket parts between the body shop side and the mechanical side. your side, the body shop's guy shop side says many of the parts that we are supposed to install are cheap, they don't fit, and they actually cost us more time and money to install them and make them fit than if we got one from Ford, Chevy, Toyota, Honda, Dodge.
Yeah, that happens. That happens.
Now, in the mechanical side, it's not that at all. Fit is no problem. And we don't have a finish problem because everything we put on a car is underneath the hood or underneath the car.
Yeah.
So people need to draw that distinction. When it comes to aftermarket parts, would it be fair if I was at your shop and you said, Mark, the insurance company has dictated these headlights assemblies for you, I would say, Greg, is that something you'd put on your car? And if you said no, I'd say, well, I don't want to put it on mine.
Yeah,
right?
Correct. And what we'll do is order that part in, if it's on the estimate, and evaluate it. We'll compare it to the original equipment that the car came with. And if it's not the same in all aspects, if there's any cheapness to it at all, we'll bring it to the attention of the insurance company, and they'll pay us to put the OEM on, because they don't want to put something on your car either in most cases.
In most cases.
Yeah, that's going to not make the car the way it was before the accident.
Okay. And I agree. I work for insurance companies, and 1 out of 10 wants me to tell them what they want to hear. And the rest of them, 8 out of 10, will say, I'm not interested in you telling me what you think I want to hear. I'm interested in the truth. And I said, just give me the question. What's the question? Got one the other day. This guy says he needs a new engine. You go out and answer the question. Does he need a new engine? Question one. And number two is, why? I said, fine, I got it. But I'm not going to let you write my report, and I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
But only once in a while. Once in a while, I'll get an insurance company.
Caller Robert.
This is what we want you to say. And I say to them, I'm not the guy for you. I'm not going to work for you. Thank you, but no. And when it comes to insurance companies, there's some bottom feeders, just like there's bottom feeders in the mechanical industry, in the lawyer industry, in the used car industry, the dentist, the doctors, the brain surgeon, there's bottom feeders everywhere. But in the industry, there's some body shops out there that depend on one insurance company for 90% of their work. In my opinion, they're not likely, one insurance company for 90%, in my opinion, they're not likely to go against the guy that's feeding them.
I think that's very true.
Like to see a guy like a body shop have 4 or 5 DRP designations. I'd like to see them work for 4 or 5 companies. That way they're not beholden to just one big dog.
Yeah, because you depend on that.
Yeah.
And then if you depend on it badly, then you may make the wrong choices.
Yeah, that's exactly my point. What I'm really proud about you is because I've sent a lot of business your way, because you got Anthem, you got New River, and you got the north side of town covered. And I enjoy, and I wish I would have done this, and I apologize for you not, I keep all your emails. Not yours, but from your customers. And every one of them, I remember a lady with a VW must have wrote me 3 times telling me how happy she was, because she was convinced that nobody could fix her VW. It was a bug. It wasn't an old bug, it was a new bug. And she said, you guys just put it back together exactly the way it was before. Because that's what I said to her. That's what you're looking for. So thank you from me and from my staff for you guys doing such a great job. Because not only do you make yourself look good, but you make us look good too. And we kind of like that.
Thank you, Mark.
Just keep doing what you're doing. You guys have been on our list now for 10 years or more.
Yeah, 10 years.
10 years or more. And, folks, it's no secret that every once in a while we have to deal with a complaint. But here's the deal. I have $5,000 of my money that says you're going to be happy. And if the shop refuses to go through Better Business Bureau process and refuses to abide by the final decision of the Better Business Bureau, then 2 things happen. I kick them off, and I step forward and I say, how much did the Better Business Bureau tell you to give them back, or what kind of repairs needed? And I do that. I will do that. And I may not personally do that, but I'll pay to have it done. I'm putting $5,000 for my money up. And here's the deal. None of the shops that are presently on the list at MarkSalem.com have ever even been to arbitration at the Better Business Bureau, which is the final step. Never been there. And the reason why is everybody knows what to do. It's not knowing the right thing. It's doing the right thing. So you can talk all you want about knowing the right thing. But like my mom said, no one is only half the equation. It's doing the right thing. And you guys have always done that for us.
Thank you.
So that's the reason why our list is different than anybody else's, because we're the only ones of all the lists out there. And these are the lists that I don't even compete with, folks, just because they don't compete with me because they're not like us. AAA, Angie's List, Dex, Garage Fly, Great Garage, Kudzu, NARPRO, RepairPal, 2Fixit, Yan, and Yelp. They all have the same thing. They have a referral network, and they do reviews. The difference between me and all of them is I put my money where my mouth is. I've been in this community 5 generations deep. There's 5 generations of my family. I'm going to be here when you need me. And when I put it on my website and sign my name and say, I got $5,000 to make sure you're happy, I mean it. Good news is I haven't had to pay anybody. Thanks, Greg. Thanks for spending your Saturday with me. And folks, stick around because we got another hour coming up.
Do you have dark circles?
Heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet. I climbed down up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned.
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Mark Salem, and we're here for another hour, and now we're throwing the phones wide open. If you have a car question or a car problem, then give me a call. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and we'll take care of you the best we can. Let me start it off by telling you about a really good shop here in town, Larry Harker's Auto Repair. They've been on our list for many, many, many years. 38th Avenue, Indian School, Larry Harker's Auto. It's owned by Bob and Ellen Frisbee, but it's Larry Harker's because that's the name it started with. But Bob and Ellen Frisbee run a really clean, honest, dependable, full of integrity operation. They kind of handle from Camelback south to the 10 and between the West 101 and the I-17. That big square box belongs to Larry Harker's Auto Repair. So if you're in that area and you're looking for a good shop and you don't have a good shop, may I be so bold as to suggest that you try Larry Harker's Auto Repair at 38th Avenue and Indian School. Got a letter from a very nice lady, and actually I didn't want to type my answer because it was really long, so I called her, and as I expected, she was an older lady, and she had taken her car into a Quick Lube facility with a $20 oil change coupon. So at the end of this transaction, her bill was $121. And that was on top of, I think, a $20 discount. And she looked at the ticket, and she said to me, evidently I answered yes when they asked me if I wanted synthetic oil. And then she says, they tried to sell me an air filter, but I knew that they had just stuck one on last time. And she says, and then I called another garage, the dealer, and I asked them, if I use synthetic, do I have to use synthetic again? And he said yes. So she says, I've just gone from a $20 oil change or $21 oil change to a $101 oil change or a $121 oil change. And she says, and I'm kind of upset about it. What do you think? And I said to her, oh, and the Quick Lube shop said that her Toyota called for a synthetic oil. So I called her back and I said, let's take these issues one at a time. Number one, your Toyota does not call for a synthetic oil. So that whoever told you that just flat out lied to you. I said, second of all, whoever told you that once you start using synthetic, that you have to continue with synthetic, I don't know if they're lying or they're misinformed, but that's not true either. And so let me explain my credentials to you. I'm the Western District Trainer for Valvoline. I've been trained in their laboratories. I know a lot about motor oil. And that idea that once you started with synthetic that you could never go back started when Arco Graphite came out, which was a very...
Caller Robert Ben Harry.
And the idea is that the the graphite oil could not be mixed with conventional oil, and we could never get the graphite out of your motor after that. So that's where it got started. But it's not true, folks. It's not true today. It wasn't true 10 years ago. It's just not true. Your engine doesn't have a brain. Your engine doesn't know if you put Valvoline, Quaker State, Mr. Goodwrench, Motocross. You can put Ford oil in your Chevy, and it's not going to care. So, ma'am, you don't have to use synthetic. You can go back to regular. And then here was the final lie that just really wadded my underwear up. And she was told that even in spite of the fact, this is by the Quick Loop shop, even in spite of the fact that they put a synthetic oil in it, she still had to change your oil every 3,000 miles. And, folks, that's an outright lie. The whole idea behind synthetic is extended oil change intervals. You can go from 8 to 10,000 miles on an extended oil change. So not only did they rip her off by lying to her and telling her Toyota needed synthetic oil, not only did they rip her off and tell her that she has to change it every 3,000 miles, but then the air filter, they miscommunicated with their customer because they were talking about the cabin filter and she was talking about the air filter, and she's right. Her records clearly show that they did an air filter last time. They were talking about a cabin filter. Cabin filters are really easy to sell. You better ask for your old one. You better ask for your old one. You better take a look at it. Because they're expensive to dig out and they're expensive to buy. And everybody likes to sell them. But you make sure that the old one's put back in the new box and puts on the passenger side floor. You make sure of that. And then you'll be best protected. So the bottom line is the lady should find a Quick Loop facility. I told her never go back there. And she can go to conventional oil and go back to 3,000-mile intervals. And she does have a new air filter, but they're saying the cabin filter needs to be replaced. So the next time she has an oil change, ask them to look at the cabin filter, show me my old one, and show me a new one before I give you a yes or a no. And there's no problem with that at all. If they say, no, I can't do that, it's because you caught them with their pants down. Robert, you're up. How can I help you today?
Good morning. I'm looking to find out who you would recommend for a manual transmission on a Mazda 5-speed.
Okay,
2005 Mazda 6.
Tell me what the symptoms are.
Well, apparently, I haven't driven it or tested it, but it'll shift between first and second gear, no other gears, and it doesn't even lock into first or second.
Okay.
I'm thinking it's synchronizing gears in the gearbox itself. The transmission had a clutch and bearing, pull-out bearing replaced a year ago, and so I don't think that's the issue. I think it's more in the gearbox itself now.
Now, has someone looked at the owner's manual to find out that this happens a lot? Somebody will put 80-90 in a manual transmission that calls for ATF that's a 15-weight or a 5-weight.
Okay.
That happens a lot. Now, okay. It's not a synchronizer problem. This is a fork problem. There are forks down inside there that slide things forward and backwards. So when you're in first gear and you go to second gear, the fulcrum, the leverage effect, what happens is it's sliding something forward. Then when you go from second gear to third gear and you're going up, you're sliding something backwards. So these forks are supposed to take this collar and take it from this spinning gear through a synchronizer to the next gear. And then they go into the next gear. The beautiful part about this is that oftentimes you can replace the forks without doing major repair.
Okay.
So what part of town are you in?
West Valley.
Okay. I've got a couple of really good shops up there. I've got Adolph's Transmission that's been around since Jesus was a baby.
Adolph's. 67th and Glendale?
Yep, 67th and Glendale. And I've also got Sun Transmission out there. And Sun's at 83rd Avenue and Grand. And either one of those two guys, and may I make a bold suggestion to you?
Sure.
You go in and you just say to them, it doesn't go all the way into first. It doesn't go all the way into second. And I can't really get 3, 4, 5 or reverse.
Right,
I'm kind of stuck in first and second. And just leave it at that. And then when they call you, you say, okay, is this a guess or a fix? They'll answer that question with no problem. But I'm thinking that you either have the wrong fluid in it, or I'm thinking that we've bent up some forks, or that there could be some bushings at the shifter that are worn out. And that's given it play that it shouldn't have. Like on VWs, a lot of times we're going to replace a couple of rubber grommets on the shifter on that thing, and they'll swear that they need a transmission, but it's, you know, two $10 grommets and about $100 worth of labor.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just hoping it's nothing major.
No. You know, how many miles are on it?
$113,000.
It's nothing major. Unless it's run out of oil, it's nothing major.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, it's been pretty well taken care of. The car was pretty nice when we bought it. We actually gave it to my son, and we got the future daughter-in-law, and she's got it, and she's having a problem with it, and she can't really afford to have it torn down and rebuilt. That's why I was calling to see who would be the best in town for that particular manual transmission.
Now, if you decide to be in the background on this, well, let me just tell you a story. We had somebody call me the other day and said, kind of a similar story, and they said, do you suppose, and I said, yeah, I think I can do that. So I think what we ended up doing was, is we told the owner of the car that the repair was like $80 when really it was a lot more, and somebody else stepped in.
Right.
That happens all the time. If you're going to do that, just tell them in advance. They're not going to raise the price on you. They're going to appreciate you more. They're going to recognize you for the Samaritan that you are, and they'll make it happen, which you don't want the accolades. You just want to help. And that,
yeah, exactly. And you know, I appreciate honesty, and I don't mind paying for what's right, and I don't have a problem with that. But I just don't want to get bent over by somebody that's just going to take advantage of the situation.
Well, the worst case scenario really is a used one. That's the worst case scenario.
Oh no, but, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but I really think that the odds are in favor of this being either bushings on the shifter or some fork bent. I think that's it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You betcha. And who is the other doorbell?
It is Harry.
Harry, how are you today? Harry, what can I do for you today?
Hi, Mark. I got a couple questions. I'm sorry I missed the paint and body guy, but I got a question about paint and body work.
Okay.
My understanding is on a lot of your new cars, they have ID numbers on, you know, like fenders and panels and things like that. And if you have them replaced with an aftermarket one and you go to trade your vehicle in, that's one of the things they look for, and they knock down their trading price if you don't have a fender or whatever.
You know,
2 minutes.
Harry, I agree. I agree with you that is a concern that's been expressed by others. But NICB is the National Institute Crime Bureau, and they're all top secret agent guys. And what they do for a living is they do just exactly that. So they're not willing to tell people where all these secret numbers are. And I can assure you that very few people know where they are. And I'm going to tell you that I don't, because they won't even tell me. So what you've got is a situation that's used for theft recoveries, finding out the vehicle's been added parts to it from a stolen vehicle, and it's used for law enforcement. I am unable to agree to a statement that says that somebody's going to be able to check your car for aftermarket parts before you trade it in. Because I don't think they know where these numbers are at or how to access the numbers or where they're located or what they mean. So I don't think that's an issue. I'll tell you where aftermarket parts are going to be an issue is a lot of the chrome, some fenders and stuff. But if they're done right, then there is no problem, and no one's going to be able to tell the difference. Unless, of course, you open up the hood and you find all the holes have been all hogged out with a big router because the fender didn't line up, and that's going to be obvious to anybody. But now, here's the last thing is, does this happen, Harry? And I know you got a second question, so stay right there.
Okay.
It's like one in a million. So if it happens, it's nothing to worry about. You're better off. You'll be struck by lightning before that happens. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Harry right after this.
Well, it's...
The mechanic raised up from under my hood, and he shook his head and said, this ain't good. Timing belts done shrunk, one size too small.
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Mark Salem. I'm your host here for 2 hours from 10 o'clock till noon right here on 960 The Patriot. And we were talking, well, let me give you the phone number, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And Harry, I have one other comment, and then I know you have another question.
Okay.
One of the hazards of pulling the stunt that you just described, and you said, I've heard that the possibility exists that when you take your car in to trade it in, that they're going to pick it apart and find all kinds of problems with it and say you used aftermarket parts, so they're going to depreciate the value of your car.
Right.
That works both ways, buddy.
Oh, okay.
And here's how it works both ways. If somebody decided to pull that off or try to pull that off. Guys like Greg May, guys like Custom Coach Works, a lot of the body shops, they can look at a car and do the same thing and do a better job. So if you bought even a new car, those guys, for a, what we call a used car checkover, or just, hey, look at this, they can pick out where your new car has been repainted. They can pick out that kind of stuff. They have sophisticated tools. So when somebody opens up that can of worms, that dog bites both ways. So if anybody's going to depreciate your used car to sell you a used car, you got to see there's risk there and the reward is small. So okay. I think that's a non-issue. But anyway, you have another question.
Yeah, it's kind of a two-part question. You were talking about oil, synthetic oil. And one is, I was always told that, you know, new engine, you know, wait for, 5,000-6,000 miles before you go to synthetics. Yeah. Well, the Mercedes and a lot of new vehicles come, you know, with synthetics to start with from the factory.
Yeah.
And I was kind of worried about a break-in issue because the synthetics lubricate, you know, better than the conventionals. Is that a factor? Or is that
it never really was a factor. That when we first started making synthetics, Mobil 1 was one of the very first ones, and that was back in the 60s and 70s. When they first came out with synthetics, there was all kinds of problems. Oh, it's going to wear your lifters and your cam, and there's no zinc, and da-da-da-da-da. Slowly but surely, we've eliminated all that stuff. Here's the reason. Let's talk about why we have synthetics. Do you know why we're putting synthetics in the cars today?
Well, I think you can run thinner oil, they lubricate better, operate at a wider range of temperatures.
Has nothing to do with that.
Oh, okay.
It has to do with Uncle Sam standing at the end of the line. And Uncle Sam, EPA, will grab three or four cars and go run them through a mileage test. And they better get fuel economy that they're promised or capable of it.
Okay.
One-tenth of a mile per gallon off is $1 million fine. So if it's supposed to get 26.2 on a highway and it gets 26.1, it's $1 million. So everyone knows that you're going to get better fuel economy with what you described, slippery oils, lower viscosity, which is synthetic. So all the car makers put synthetic in their cars in case Uncle Sam picks that car off the line to run fuel economy tests, because they know it's cheaper to go ahead and put synthetic in all the new cars. And then, Harry, we got those old timers that continue to say, let's change that oil at 500 or 1,000 miles, but they're taking out, the best oil for that car. So the break-in issues are not an issue. They never were. It was just, and you know what? We perpetuated that ourselves. I can remember saying that out of my own mouth because that's what my dad told me. That's what everybody else told me. But it was never true, and it's not true now. So synthetics, you can use them at the start. You can go to conventional, back and forth. You can do anything you want. But the draw for synthetics is you got 15,000 miles a year. Conventional oil is 5 oil changes. You're going to spend $150, $160 a year for oil changes. With a synthetic, it's $77 in my shop. $77. It's 2 oil changes a year. Okay, every 7,000-8,000 miles. So now you're going to have 140. It's the same dollar. It's less aggravation. It's 2 oil changes versus 5. And it makes your wife like you a lot more.
Okay, the second part of my question is on time factor compared to mileage. I just don't drive the miles I used to. And I may go 3,000, 3,500 a year, maybe 4,000 on one vehicle. On the other, I may go 5. And both of them have synthetic, so is it okay to leave it in for a full year, or should I change it at 6 months, or what?
No. Let's talk about that 3,000 miles a year. Let's talk about 4. Okay, at 4,000 miles a year, leave it in 2 years, but I want you to change it, this makes common sense, at the beginning of a summer.
Right, I usually do.
Okay, so now we go through summer and winter with really fresh oil. So I would say that on both those cars, now, here's the downside. This is what everyone else in the industry is going to say, because they're going to say Mark's crazy. Harry, can you afford to go 2 years without somebody checking the fluids and the belts and the hoses and airing up your tires? And can you go 2 years without allowing us the opportunity to sell you something? Are you sure that's what your wife's going to want to do, is know that she drives a car that the last time it was looked at by a professional mechanic was 2 years ago, Harry?
Probably not. I used to do my own, but I'm getting a little older, and it's a little tougher to do, so I just found one of your shops, and I'm happy with him, and I just take them in usually once a year and let them do.
You can do that.
Do check over.
You can do that. You can do that. If you're uncomfortable with the 2 years, then once a year, beginning of the summer, you're home free. Now, now you have $77 a year for that car for an oil change, and that's pretty doggone good.
Yeah, right.
All righty.
Hey, appreciate your time and answers. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Harry. Thank you very much for calling. Jim, you're up next. Is it Tim or Jim?
Tim.
Tim. Talk to me. Tim.
I think he may have fallen asleep.
Tim. You know what? Are we on delay? In case they say bad words, are we on a delay?
We are, yes.
Okay. Tim, you got to run fast. All right. What we're going to do to Tim is we're going to put him on hold. And we're going to go to Tony. So, Tony, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Go right ahead, sir.
Hey, Mark. I'm having a quandary, okay? It's not a problem with my vehicle per se, but it's a problem of what I want to do with my vehicle.
Okay.
I've got a half-ton pickup truck. It's non-commercial. I want to mount a fire extinguisher bottle on the floor right in front of the seat.
Okay.
Yet I've went up and down the street, looked everywhere. I cannot find a fire extinguisher that has a mount that's a metal mount, either aluminum or steel, you know, that has the regular, you know, barrel ring, you know, with a cam lock on it, strap. Do you know where I can find one of those things? Do you guys supply that? Do you have, you know, where do you suggest I go to get that? Because I'm not going to put anything in there plastic that's going to shake apart and start, you know, falling apart on me.
That's easy. I know exactly what you're talking about. I would call Metro. Metro Fire da-da-da. We buy our fire extinguishers from them. They come out annually, and they put new tags on all of our fire extinguishers. I think I have 20. And he'll tell me, this one's too old, we need to get rid of it, or no, this one can be recharged, and da-da. He always treats me really fair, but when I buy them, I'm with you. I want a metal hanger, and I want a good contraption. And we hang them on the wall, and then we have, of course, you have to have signs on them. It says fire extinguishers, like my, you know, the technicians don't know that there's a fire extinguisher there. But the guys that sell fire extinguishers, those are the guys that you need to talk to. Now, if you'll send me an email at mark@marksalem.com, I have two fire extinguisher companies that we rely on, and I will give you the phone numbers for both of them.
All right, thanks, Mark.
All right, thank you very much. And Tim, if you're there, you're going to have to wait till after the break, and we'll be back to take care of you. We've got open lines available with the exception of Tim, who's snoring on line 4, but we got 1, 2, 3, and 5 open, so all you have to do is call 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I'll get my tongue straightened up here in just a minute. Thank you for spending your Saturday with me. We're going to be here until 12 o'clock, so if you'd like to call us again, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back.
D&B Auto Repair is a...
You can get stereo tape and a color TV, get a backseat bar and reclining seats, and just pay once a month like you do your rent.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Every Saturday from 10 to 12, we're here talking about your car questions. And while I appreciate all of you wanting to know where my shop is, and I'll tell you it's in South Tempe, it's Warner and I-10, here's what I want you to know. I don't want you to drive miles and miles. You're going to pass some really good shops that can do the work close by where you live. And that's the reason why I send you to MarkSalem.com. Go to MarkSalem.com, click on the best car repair shops in Phoenix, and every one of those 60 paint and body shops, mechanical shops, tire shops, exhaust shops, those guys have my stamp of approval. They are not going to let you down. So while I'm honored that you want to drive from all over town to come and see me, you might pass 3, 4, 5 good shops on your way to here. So please, go to MarkSalem.com, and that's if you don't have a garage that you already love. Kurt's Auto Repair is up north. He's on the I-17 in Bell, just on the east side of the road. Kurt's has been in business since 1992. Kurt's is a member in good standing with the Better Business Bureau, and Kurt's can fix anything. He would say he can fix the crack of dawn. He can fix everything except the crack of dawn and a broken heart, but he says, I took that first. But nevertheless, Kurt says, if I can't fix it, I'll tell you where to go that you can have it fixed, because I know the other experts in this area. But Kurt says that rarely happens because we really do a good job, and I believe him. His customers love him. So if you're looking for a good shop, I-17 and Bell, east side of the road, right across the street from Midway Chevrolet, it's Kurt's Auto Repair. Okay, we're going to go to Tim has snored off into the blue, and we're going to go to Tony. Oh, no, we talked to Tony, so we're going to go to Ken. So, Ken, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thank you for the call. I have an 06 Ford diesel.
Okay.
We take our vacations up at Whidbey Island, Washington, in the summer. And 2 years ago, just before we were going to leave for home, check engine light came on. It ended up being a particle that got on the rheostat for the gas gauge.
Okay, okay.
And cost $120 to get it reset. Well, lo and behold, we went back up there this year. Same thing happened, same time, just before we're going to come home. Same identical situation. So I've got two questions. One, is that something I can the second one cost $150 to get it reset. And they both times they said the likelihood of it repeating was slim to none. Is that something I can get reset rather than this rather expensive process? And number two, why do I seem to run into it only up in Washington?
Okay, I can't answer your second question because I don't know what it is, but let me ask you a question. Do you have any idea what they did to fix it?
No.
Okay.
I don't think they did anything. They just said it isn't going to repeat, and this is both of them were Ford dealers, and they weren't the same one.
Okay, because here's the options. They may take the sending unit out.
No.
Okay.
They didn't.
Then there is no way to clean the sending unit. However, we can take and reload your software. So that's the only other thing I can think of is, did they find that the communication was garbled between the gas gauge that goes to the PC, the onboard computer, the ECM, electronic control module, and then from there it's going to the dashboard and to the gauge. So if we scramble that up, it's like a reboot. We're just going to reboot your computer. So we're going to drop your computer down, turn it off, then we're going to bring it back up, and we're going to log on to the Ford library in the sky, and we're going to say, oh, that's the update I want right there, or that's the VIN number matched software. Give me that. Put it right here. They walk away. The computer talks to the cloud back and forth, and then you're done. What's missing here is you need to ask them specifically, what did you do? Now, I would think that if it happens again, I'd fill it up, and I'm sure after driving all those miles, you have an idea of how many miles you can go on a tank. And so I would set my odometer, and I would drive it, because if, in fact, there's something dirty inside the tank, then the sloshing of the fuel and the action of the flow going up and down is going to wipe it off. It's going to be okay.
1 minute.
On the other hand, if they're having to reflash your PC, then I would never pay for the third time. I would go back to one of the two of them, and I'd say, you already did this. You already charged me. So, and you told me then that this will fix it, and it did for a short period of time. But until we really know what it is, I can't tell you why it happened. But here's some possibility. If you take your Ford truck up north, and in Washington, you probably drive it all the way up there, and then you sit for a while. And may or may not use the truck. So during that period of time, the climate is completely different than down here. I mean, we have hot and they have humid. And we have dry and they have rain. So there's a climate change. And that may very well be the problem, is just the climate change. But let's find out what it is first. Mark@MarkSalem.com. When you find out, send me an email. Mark@MarkSalem.com. Meanwhile, I'll do some research. We'll be right back.
Dennis Prager explains.
Working
most Friday nights, I can be found.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem, and we're here to wrap up the show. We've got another, I don't know, probably another 16 minutes or so, maybe a little bit longer. If you'd like to join us and have a car question, the lines are wide open right now, 602-508-0960, 508-0960. I've got a couple things to tell you. Christmas is right around the corner, and I'm a car guy, as you can well imagine. And we were in Fredericksburg, Texas the other day at a big barn sale where Mark's wife was looking for something, and Mark was looking at old Winchester 30-30s and the like. Because Mark loves the old Winchesters, and they can be any caliber, but I just love those old guns. But anyway, we found a lady who sold neon signs there, and she has some of the most beautiful neon signs you've ever seen. And unlike everything else that we've ever seen, these signs are so inexpensive, they're like $50. So, I bought a big one. It's a little bit more than 50, but I bought a big one that says Hot Rod Shop, and then I bought a Chevy and a Ford, and we now predominantly display those. If you'll send me your email, and there's a man in your life, and you're thinking that he might like a Hot Rod sign, maybe for his man cave, maybe for the garage, maybe for whatever, this is a really nice thing. My wife stood there and watched me buy three of them, and then I gave him my business card logo, and they're going to make me a full 24 by 24 with my logo in the center. And I can hardly wait. That's my Christmas present to myself. So I offer that to you. For those of you that are interested, my email is mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com. Who is that?
That is Leonard in the car waiting to get into the shop.
All righty, Leonard. It's all yours, buddy. What can I do to help you?
Yeah, I've got a 98 Honda Accord. I was told by a reliable shop that I need a catalytic converter because I will be going through emissions. And the suggestion was, according to price, going to an aftermarket catalytic converter. I was wondering what your opinion is.
This is something I deal with all the time. The other day we bid a Honda catalytic converter at $1,000. The customer got really mad at us. He found one for $250. The problem is I won't sell one that's not certified. And the $250 one is not certified. Now, here's what you say to the shop, Leonard. You say to them, I am willing to go along with your suggestion on using an other than a Honda catalytic converter. Let me tell you that 85% of the time, it's okay. But Hondas give me the... Hondas drive me crazy under this situation. So you say to him, if we put the aftermarket on, I'm going to drive it for about 10 days, and then I'm going to go through emissions. If I don't pass, and it's because of the same symptoms, then we need to take it off and put something else on. So you're going to work with me on this, right? Because you're telling me I'm going to get through emissions. So that's the safeguard that you need to do, because that's what we do. If we put an aftermarket one on there and it doesn't pass emissions, then we'll take it back off. But it's going to be, you're going to have to pay the difference, but you're not going to pay installation again, and I'm going to give you a credit for the cheap one towards the expensive one. So
I see.
That risk is kind of taken away from you, and it's put on the shop's shoulders. Now, if it were a Chevy or a Ford or a Dodge, or if it was a Toyota, a lot of those are not nearly as temperamental as the Hondas. But there's going to be a significant difference between the one that came for that car and some of the ones that you can get on it. What part of town are you in?
I deal with one of your shops, Harkins.
Okay. You're talking about Harkers.
Yeah.
I think you just... talk to Bob. That's all I got to do. Just talk to Bob. And I think he'll agree. I'm pretty sure he's just going to agree and say, hey, the risk is all mine. If I put a less expensive one on there, then I'm sure you're going to get through emissions. Because if you aren't, then he knows he needs to fix that. So that's what I would do.
Uh-huh. Now, if you went through emissions on the one that he put on and it didn't pass, then the only other thing would you'd have to go to a regular Honda catalytic converter, right?
You'd have to get one certified by Honda, and that's typically a Honda. So yes, now you have two things you got to talk to the shop about. Number one, I obviously have to pay the difference between $250 and $1,000.
Yeah.
But we also have a $22 or $28 fee for the failure that you're going to have to pay for on the next one.
Oh, I see.
So I'm sure he's going to work with you. Just tell him of your concerns and say, how are we going to handle this? That's all you need to do.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Leonard. And speaking of the list, I hope that I impress upon you that the list that I have created since 1988, there is no other list that gives you the comfort that I have. Let me tell you something. Have you ever heard of another referral list kicking somebody off their list? I did. I'd kicked off two shops for ethical issues. Now, I also insist that the shop owner be on site, and I also insist that the shop owner have 5 years of experience, because I can remember when I first began working on cars that I wasn't the greatest businessman in the world. I chased people off that I regret. I did things that I regret. I made decisions that were poor business decisions. I wasn't a very good businessman because I was a technician. So that 5 years of experience is important so that you get good at both a technician as well as a businessman, because the very best shop owners are both. What are you doing here? Put that in front of you. What? What are you doing here?
Oh, I heard you talking about our shopping extravaganza, so I thought I'd better come and defend myself.
Okay, all right. Let's talk about this. Okay, this is my wife, Renee. How long have we been married?
Oh, way too long.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah.
How old were you, 16, when we got married?
Yes.
16?
Oh, maybe 12. I don't
know.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. We don't. Okay, I represented as we went to Texas to a big barn sale.
Right.
And you guys were looking for Christmas stuff and knickknacks, and I was looking for guns.
Right.
So what do you object to?
No, nothing. I just want to make sure you weren't going to tell them, you know, start telling them that I spent this and that. And you spent more money than I did, and we were there for 2 days.
Absolutely.
You were there for an hour.
Absolutely. I told you, yeah, I wanted a gun.
Right.
And you found the gun for me.
Right.
And I went, and why don't you tell them who got the better deal?
Where's your little ding bell? I'm missing that.
I don't know where it's at. I don't see it.
Over here.
Is it over there? Okay. This bell we have here means that you don't want to answer the question or someone's lying. Is that right? All right, ding the bell.
Yeah.
But answer the question. You talk to the guy, because I didn't go the first day because I had to do radio.
Oh, I didn't even ask him for a deal, and he took $100 off right away. So
okay. And
so wait, I got 100 and you got 100 more, so I think we're even.
Oh, no. I got a better deal than you did.
Oh, okay.
And that shouldn't be, because girls, especially with an old cowboy with a little bit of flirty eyelashes kind of stuff, he should have come down a lot more.
Yeah, but he just looked at me and he gave me $100 off. Oh. I didn't even have to ask him. If I would have asked him, I might have gotten even a better deal. So.
Oh, man. I don't know if I'm going to buy off on that. All right. Have you been out shopping?
We went to a couple of rummage sales and, yeah. With Heather and Andy.
That's my daughter-in-law and my daughter.
Right, and our grandkids.
Yeah.
And
how did Rex do at the soccer game?
Rex did good.
He's
got
three.
Five goals?
He's 3 years old, right?
Yes.
Five goals.
Yeah. They were a little short on the team. He only had two on his team, so they could only play two on their team.
Okay.
But they did good. They had fun.
Okay. So. All right, and his dad, our son, is in Lambeau Field?
Yeah,
watching
he's going on the tour right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He won that through some vendor of ours, and so he got to go to Lambeau Field, and that's quite an experience. When those things come through the downstairs area that you're in charge of, why wouldn't they be redirected to my desk?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think you like football or any of those sports, so I doubt that you would have gone anyway. But I will tell you something funny. He took only Cardinals shirts, clothes. He had to stop by Walmart and get another shirt because they wouldn't let him in Lambeau Field with a Cardinals shirt on.
You're kidding.
No.
Seriously.
Yeah. So
that's only right, I guess,
you know, because it's not their team. So.
It's another excuse. You have got your son trained to go shopping under any conditions.
Right. At Walmart.
Yeah. It doesn't really make any difference. You can spend a lot of money there, too. Oh, boy, we got a caller. And this is hopefully somebody that will referee this fight between us. But
yeah, they couldn't stand anymore.
Yeah. All righty. I'm ready. Who's hungry?
Yeah. The drive-thru is packing up. First we got David, then we got Dennis.
Okay, David, you're first, buddy.
Yes, Mark. I just have a couple of quick questions with regard to failing the emissions test on my automobile.
Okay.
And I've got a 95 Oldsmobile 98 series.
Okay.
And I go through this every 2 years. I run it through and it fails, and then I take it to the mechanic, and they try to come up with something to solve the problem. But this time around, I have a high reading on my oxides of nitrogen in grams.
NOx, yeah.
And the vehicle, the test came out to 2.24, and they said the applicable standard was 2.00.
Okay, so 0.24, you fail by 0.24 on the NOx, the NOx.
I'm sorry?
You failed by 0.24 on the NOx.
That's correct.
Which
is
called NOx. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for coming to the table with information. NOx is a high combustion temperature. So we might be running a little lean. We might raise the idle a little bit to burn off some NOx. We might see if the EGR is working. We might adjust the timing. But this is pretty easy. But before you take it in, may I make a $28 suggestion? Next time you're in line, I want you to, when you're second or third car back, I want you to put it in neutral and hold that idle up. I mean, I don't want you to hold the idle up where the engine's screaming. I want you to hold the idle up to about 2,000 RPM, which is a fast idle. I want you to keep the car good and warm. And then when it's your turn for the test, then you'll go through. I think you can go through, again, if you just keep that motor good and warm, I think you can go through and probably pass that because you are a whisker away from passing.
Okay.
And I don't think it's a catalytic converter. I'm pretty sure that with a little EGR cleaning or maybe some timing work or maybe even adding a little bit more fuel to it that we can eliminate that NOx reading.
Okay. Well, 2 years ago when it did not pass, I had a new catalytic converter put on 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I have no idea what the efficiency of a catalytic converter is. How often they have to be replaced or whether...
Okay, I can answer that. The answer is this. Typically, we don't fail for NOx on a cat. A cat is in... There's three compounds we're looking for. CO, HC, and NOx. When a catalytic converter fails 99 times out of 100, it's unable to process CO or HC. Very rarely will the cat just fail NOx and take care of CO and HC.
Okay.
So in your particular case, the last thing I'd put on that thing would be a cat. That would be my suggestion.
Right.
And I would go back to the guy who put the cat on and ask him if he has any constructive suggestions for you.
Okay.
And you have nothing to lose by asking.
All right.
Okay?
I will do that.
All right. Thank you very much, David. Thank you. All righty. Who's the next caller? We'll sneak him in.
Dennis.
Dennis. We're going to have to be fast, Dennis, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, here's the deal.
I've got
a 2000 Dodge Avenger.
Okay.
And back about when I first got it, I had a lot more money than I got now. And I had some friends that were soldiers up in Fort Hood, and he had a similar car and did some work to it, and I had him do some work to mine. We took out the perfectly good 2.5 liter, put in a 3.5 from a 99 Diamante, bulletproof the transmission, and put direct port nitrous in.
Okay.
Then... He got sent back. Well, both guys that worked on it got sent back to Iraq. One of them was killed, and one of them's wife left him, and he never came back.
Okay.
So I've got this car that no one will work on.
Okay, I know who to tell you to go to.
So, and it's been sitting for like 5 years, and no one will touch it because it's, you know.
Okay. If it ever ran before to start run down the road, then I want you to call Greg at ADS. On Chandler Boulevard in Chandler. Greg at ADS, Automotive Diagnostic Systems, something like that. He's a good guy. He's a friend of mine. He's a good friend of mine. He's not on my list because he's in the zone that is already full. But he's a good guy. If Greg can help you with that, I don't know anybody else in the world that can. That guy is a wizard with when people take the cars and swap motors and him to get them to run good and start good. He's just a wizard. So I would call Greg at ADS. That's the best I can offer you. All righty. Well, thank you very much for spending your Saturday with me. Thank you for stopping by, Mrs. Salem. Oh, hold on. Yes, ma'am?
You're welcome.
And next time, knock before you come in
yeah,
I know you're coming.
I'll ring the doorbell or honk the horn.
All righty. We'll be back next Saturday right here at 10.